Well, thank you for being here tonight, faithful few. Did you ever dream that we'd have 10 times as many high school kids as we do adults?
Yeah.
Well, someone was working on the sound system after church on Sunday, and everything kind of got discombobulated, so please forgive the snap, crackles, and pops. I think our insurance would cover eardrum surgery if, you know, it blows out an eardrum, I'm pretty sure. Acts chapter 2, part 2. We've got one more part to this this great chapter. If you can remember last time, which was a couple of weeks ago, we saw God do a pretty remarkable thing to draw a crowd. That wasn't the reason he did it, but that was the result of what he did. Remember, there's a group of 120 disciples following Jesus' instructions to wait in Jerusalem before they went anywhere. He told them they were going to go into all of the world. And as they were going into all the world, they were to spread the good news about Jesus. But he said, don't go anywhere. Wait until you are clothed with power from heaven. And so they did that. And they met together and they prayed for actually quite a long period of time. I've never exactly figured out why they had to wait so long. I've learned a long time ago it's really foolish to try to tell God to hurry up because his timing is perfect. And I have discovered sometimes that when he waits to do things, even when I know he's going to do them, sometimes when he's waiting, it's for me to get in the right place. And I don't need to tell you, living in the world that we live in, distraction is such a huge thing, that just to get your mind clear and be totally yielded and available to the Lord without a bazillion distractions is really difficult. Several million people were in Jerusalem for the feast day. Pentecost, the 50th day after the Sabbath of Passover, God poured out his Holy Spirit just like he said he was going to. And there, we're going to read actually all the way through Peter's speech at that point. I don't know if we'll get all the way through it in our study tonight. We may have to wait and do the last part of it because there's a lot of wonderful stuff in it. But beginning reading at verse 14, couple of things I want you to notice. Number one, Peter had no time to prepare a sermon. And one of the things that Bible teachers love to tell people is that the Holy Spirit is not going to have anything to draw on to use you in speaking forth God's word if you're not programming God's word into your mind and into your heart. Peter had been doing that for a long time. He'd been sitting with Jesus. That was one thing. He'd been learning from Jesus. But what happened starting in verse 14 is purely and simply the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, words that he had not prepared. He didn't have time. He simply opened his mouth and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit said the perfect thing to a huge crowd of people that had gathered. Remember, we saw that some of them thought that the people that were praising God in languages that they'd never learned, some of them who didn't understand what was being said thought they were drunk. The people who heard what was being said didn't think anybody was drunk. Their confusion wasn't that they were hearing strange languages. They just couldn't figure out how these people knew languages that they never learned. People from all over the world hearing God's praises spoken. The one thing that we see from that event, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, is that the Holy Spirit was absolutely in control of those 120 people. So while the crowd is gathered with mixed reviews, Peter stands up, verse 14, and I'm going to read all the way through the end of his speech, and then we'll look at the the details. And then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. I've often wondered if he smiled when he said that. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And then he quotes from what all of these people knew was a messianic prophecy from Joel chapter 2. He quotes the entire prophecy, even though part of it applied to what was happening at this moment, and part of it was going to apply what happened at Jesus' second coming at the end of what we call the last days. It was not uncommon for a prophecy to be partially fulfilled in Jesus' first coming and partially fulfilled in the second coming. And you'll note it as we go through it. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. In the Hebrew, the original Hebrew, though this is written in Greek, in Joel, the Hebrew, the emphasis is on the word your. I'm going to read it that way. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Verses 19 and 20, Jesus quoted similar prophecy. They refer to the end of the period called the last days. But Peter just quotes the whole thing. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. When you see that phrase, day of the Lord, in prophecy, it always speaks of the time when Messiah comes to set up his kingdom on the earth, which we know will happen at the second coming of Jesus. Verse 21, I love this verse. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. The Amplified Bible says determined purpose and set plan. So a very strong word. I think you should underline that. We're going to spend some time talking about that because it's really important that I have a grasp on this concept, or a lot of stuff in Scripture is going to be confusing to me. So he says, verse 23, once again, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the cords or snare of death. And I love this phrase, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. The Amplified Bible says it was impossible for death to control him. What a great phrase. Verse 25, David said about him, and now he quotes a combination of two of the messianic psalms, Psalm 16 and Psalm 22, mostly Psalm 16. I don't know if you remember when we studied Psalm 16, but we talked about this, that David was prophesying about Messiah in part of the psalm, and part of the psalm he was just giving his own experience. I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices, and my body also will live in hope. We talked about that last night, what a glorious thing that is if your body's falling apart. What a glorious thing that even your body can have hope, because it gets replaced. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You've made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. I'm sure Peter was smiling when he said this next part. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. From where actually Peter was standing, he could have pointed right over and said, it's right over there. You can go see the bones if you want to. I'm positive, he said, David died. And so the whole point he's making is this prophecy couldn't have been speaking, it couldn't have been just David talking about himself. But, verse 30, he was a prophet. Of course, they all believed that. They all believed David wasn't just a king and a godly man. They believed he was a prophet. And he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ. Christ, just in case you don't know, somebody's listening, Christ is the English translation of the Greek translation of the Hebrew term Messiah. Every time you see the word Christ, you could say Messiah. It's just linguistics, means the same thing. Since he's speaking to Jewish people, I like to read it that way. He spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. If you remember, John the Baptist said that he baptized with water, but Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. And Peter's just saying, hey, that's what Joel said, and that's what David said, and that's what's happening. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, and now he quotes another messianic psalm. This is Peter. This is Peter who couldn't remember something that Jesus said an hour earlier. And all of a sudden, he's got this fabulous knowledge of messianic prophecy, and it's just all of these verses are the perfect things to say. I love that. That's the difference the Holy Spirit makes. The Lord said to my Lord, quoting Psalm 110, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. The Greek is very colorful. It says their hearts were cut into little tiny pieces. Their hearts were broken. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, by the way, just for perspective, this is the same ranting, violent crowd that killed Jesus. These were the people that the apostles were hiding from. And now Peter stands up and says things that when Jesus said them earlier, none of them believed him. Now Peter stands up, the anointing of the Holy Spirit speaks these words, and it goes right to their hearts. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Next week, we'll talk about what that phrase means because it's been grossly misunderstood. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, going all the way back to what he started with, when he talked about the promise that God made that in the last days he was going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, verse 39 says, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom our Lord will call. My understanding of linguistics is that would apply to you and that would apply to me. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Interesting to me that that leaves a huge hole in the account, because if the Amplified Bible stretches this out and says, you know, he had a lot of other stuff to say. Well, why wasn't it preserved for us? Well, obviously it wasn't something we needed to know. Verse 41 is important. Those who accepted his message, that implies some of them didn't. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Let's rewind, and there's just so much great stuff in here. Once again, for perspective's sake, this is Peter, who didn't have the guts in the dark to admit that he was a friend of Jesus, and three times denied him in front of a servant girl, the lowest form of life in Jewish society. That same Peter, standing up in the very location where the mob was screaming a couple of weeks earlier, same Peter stands up and delivers the perfect thing to say. And it wasn't just that it wasn't the words that did it. They've heard these words before. Jesus told everybody who he was. They just didn't believe it. Timing is everything, you know. The Bible says the Holy Spirit was given to him without measure. So it's not that the things Jesus said didn't have the Holy Spirit's anointing. This was the time. This was the place for these people. As we look at this, a couple of things come to my mind. And one is that, and of course you know if you've ever heard me teach before, that I have a real problem with evangelism formulas. It's not that there's something wrong with being organized and knowing what you're going to say. The problem is when we have a formula that we memorize, we stop listening to the Holy Spirit so many times. We don't need the Holy Spirit. We have our formula. You just grab somebody, you get your little card out, and you just read them the five things. It's never as effective as when the Holy Spirit has empowered you to do it. Peter had no time to prepare. There were many sermons that were given under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that the men did prepare. Peter's preparation was the same kind of preparation that you and I have. He just spent time with Jesus. He planted God's word in his heart. He asked God to teach him. It's like vitamins. When you feed yourself the word of God, those of you that are here and those of you that aren't here, when you feed yourself the word of God, you are putting vitamins in your system. If you think of it, mixing metaphors, if you think of it as programming your computer, you can only get out of the computer what's been programmed into it. The Holy Spirit has nothing to draw on of the Word of God if it's the Word of God is not in there. So there are a couple of things we learn about Peter waiting for power to be a witness, and all of a sudden, without any preparation, he stands up, the same chicken guy, only he's different. And the difference is the Holy Spirit had just fallen upon him with power. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said something to his disciples, verses 19 and 20. You don't have to go there now. I just want to quote it to you because I think this is an instance of what Jesus said. Jesus said, there's going to come a time when you guys are going to be dragged in front of people, important people, to tell them about me and your relationship to me. And Jesus said, at that time, and I wrote it down, do not worry about what you're going to say and how to say it. At that time, you will be given the words to say, because it will not be you speaking, but the Holy Spirit speaking through you. I think this is that very thing happening. It's not the last time it happened either. You're going to see as we look through the whole book of Acts, this happening. What do I have to do to make myself available for this? Well, because I've seen God do this. I've seen the Lord give me words that were more than my own. And the formula, if you could call it that, is just very simple. I wait on him for his power. I ask him to speak through me. You know, I'm thinking when this happened, if you remember back in verse 14, it tells you what happened. And then it says, then Peter stood up. I mean, how long was it before he stood up? A couple of minutes? Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't have enough time to run grab your Bible? You just threw up a very quick prayer and said, Lord, fill my mouth. This is an opportunity that you've given. I have no idea what to say unless you give me the words. Lord, please give me the words in some form of that. I've prayed that prayer sometimes, and it just came out like, ugh. But the Holy Spirit translated that, that God knew what I was saying in my heart. And that's exactly what the Lord did. There's some great things in here, some important theology in this passage. And for that reason, I'm not going to try to do all of it tonight. I'd like to be able to give everything the time that it needs. But let's look at, Peter says these guys are not drunk. By the way, if verse 15 in my NIV says these men are not drunk, but the word men is not in there. It's not a masculine pronoun or noun in Greek. It's just neuter. It's these people. Because remember, there weren't just men that were prophesying. There were women as well.